Hi everyone, welcome back to my podcast series. Welcome to the Winner's Circle. This episode, we will be talking with Portia. She is the person, the face, the name behind the IG page, To Be Black Is Lit. Hi Portia, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for being on this episode. A little bit of background. I actually met Portia on Instagram. I was following the page and I just liked the content. I appreciated the content. I love how it highlighted us as Black people in such a positive way, just with history and facts and with truth. And I felt like, you know, this is a great thing to talk about for the podcast. So Portia, really quickly, I just want to say thank you for being on this episode again. Everyone, we did record initially and we had so many technical difficulties. So we're like, oh, we have to re-record it. So I just want to say I appreciate your time for today. For your IG page, what was the inspiration behind it?
I don't really have an inspiration behind it. I just wanted to share bits and pieces of what I've learned over time. And, you know, teaching for quite a few years, I noticed that the textbooks, they have maybe two or three pages of our information. And sometimes that wasn't even displayed correctly. You know, they never talked about the kings and queens that we were before slavery or what we still are now. They always told the story or made it seem like, you know, we were happy with everything that was done. And that's just not true. So I, you know, learned things over time. You know, my family are former sharecroppers and farmers. So I wanted to just create a space and a pastime where I can post random, you know, random things that I've learned over time or researched. And I thought it would be really good because now it seems people learn more on social media than they do in school.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, I've been following your page for a while. And honestly, some of the things that you post, I didn't even know of, definitely was not talked about in school or in history class. So that's one of the takeaways I get from, you know, following that page. And a lot of the content or the history and facts that you post, it just shows us in such a positive light, but the images, whether it's pictures or videos, it really just feels nostalgic in a sense. It's a feeling of comfort. Even though we were dealing with so much back then, I mean, we still are now as a people, but even though, you know, back then we were still dealing with so many other issues, from what I'm seeing and from what we learn is that we had each other and it just worked. You know, we were still happy, regardless of what was happening. Okay. And so when you find these sound bits and pictures and video clips, especially the older ones that look kind of, you know, antiquated, where are your resources for these?
Honestly, I just post randomly. Everybody asks me that. Do I have like a certain way or anything? A lot of things I'm a nerd. I literally will go on YouTube and I'm over reading. And that's just because I've read so much for the degrees that I have. So I'm a documentary person.
Right.
So I love looking at documentaries and on YouTube. And believe it or not, I also go, you know, I Google a lot of things that I find out, you know, from these documentaries. But believe it or not, my number one source is my family. You know, Black people, let's just be honest, we didn't have that luxury of having things written down. So, you know, many of our people weren't, you know, allowed to read or write or, you know, things like that for a while. So a lot of our traditions and food recipes and history, it's learned through orally, word of mouth, passed down. So I'm just really fortunate, honey, that I can, you know, I have two grandparents who are still here and I can ask them things, and they have pictures, and we research. Yeah.
Nice. That's such a blessing. You have like that firsthand, that firsthand experience, or just that firsthand connection to something that happened in history. Are you surprised at some of the findings from your research, even through like the stories that you're told from your grandparents or things you might have found in books? Meaning like, you know, say you've heard it this way in a book, mm-hmm. or, you know, some type of publication, but your grandparents say, no, this is how it happened. We were there, or this is what the feeling was at that time when this was occurring. Has that ever happened?
Not now, I'll be honest. But when I first started like really researching, I did this in my teens. So, mm-hmm. you know, I started, I think in high school, when I'm an 80s baby and a 90s kid. Mm-hmm. So yeah, when I was maybe in middle school, the internet was just starting to pop. You know, you had,
right. I remember,
you don't remember where, you know, you're on the internet and, you know, you're on the phone or something, the phone rings and the internet would disconnect. So we were, this was when it first started popping. So we still had to use, different things. But anyway, I started with Britannica or Ask Jeeves, like mm-hmm. everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, in high school, by that time, you know, flip phones were popping. So I was able, the internet was a little bit more advanced. So some of the things that my grandparents would tell me, I would literally use the internet, maybe after school or after practice or something, and look up these things. Now, in high school, I'm not going to lie, very surprised, because in high school, I took history. Took geography, took all these right. things. So I'm like, wow, why, you know, I always wondered why are they not teaching it? I was very surprised. But now, no. And I think it's just because I've been doing it a long time and I've learned why they hide our history, because we're so great. You know, we've overcame so much. Right. But right. when I first started, I think the sharecropping is what did me in. Very surprised. Right. I didn't know what it was. Because in history books, you know, again, we were taught slavery. I'm not sure about the North, but in the South, we were taught, hey, slavery was over. Lincoln freed the slaves in 1865 with the Emancipation Proclamation, and we were happy. The end.
Right. Yeah. Same thing up here. Definitely. And also, too, when it comes to, you know, education and history and stuff like that, sometimes it definitely is watered down when it comes to our history, but sometimes things are left out depending on where you live as well, mm-hmm. you know? So up here, you may learn something about, you know, Black folks in Boston, because that's where mm-hmm. I'm from, when you go to school, when I was in school or something, versus somewhere else, they won't learn about it. Or you just won't hear about it. Like I'm reading right now this book called Black Fortunes by Shamari Wells. And the very beginning of Frederick Douglass and when he started doing his speeches and his, you know, keynotes and all of those kind of things, he started on the Cape Cod Islands in Nantucket. And I have never heard of that ever in any of my history classes growing up in Boston. And, you know, Cape Cod Islands is in Massachusetts. Boston's in Massachusetts. You know, why weren't we learning about that? Same thing with Mary Pleasant. The same thing with her. She got her wealth start in, as well as, I believe it was Nantucket as well, on the Cape Cod Islands. Never learned about her either. And this is the first time. So it definitely is watered down and omitted. So I do definitely believe that history that, you know, we're learning, also depending where you're located, is a big thing as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It does play a role into what is accessible mm-hmm. to you. And it's, in a sense, it's a disadvantage for us as a people, because I feel like we should know everything everywhere. Like it should be consistent. Absolutely. You know, so we know who we are, but you know, that of course was also done on purpose, just so we wouldn't have that unity. Just knowing that the strength and unity, that was definitely something that they worked very hard to not achieve, not let us achieve.
Absolutely. And I think they still hide it, you know, from our kids, you know, because I worked at a disadvantaged school for disadvantaged youth, you know. And the one thing I noticed is they always try to make Black children look like they're slower than the other kids, you know. Or, you know, what really pains my soul is when a teacher says, I treat all my kids the same. And you shouldn't, though. I know a lot of people, when they first hear me say that, they're like, "What? You know what? Excuse me, what?" But no, they shouldn't, because let's be clear. Black children come to school with a lot more issues than whites. And a lot of those things.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, and so how can you treat them the same when you have white children? You know, I'm not saying they don't experience things. Okay, they do. But Black children, they do. We suffer from, I'm a believer of post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Oh, that's definitely true. Definitely true.
Yeah. And we, you know, as strong as our ancestors were, as brilliant as they were broken people. They had to suffer terror, you know, and a lot of other things and just be quiet about it. And, you know, that's a form of brokenness, too. They were strong, but they imposed a lot of that on our children. And so, yeah, we can honestly say some of our children have never experienced slavery. So because people love to say that. Not one slave is alive.
Yeah, but it's still, there's still the some effects and ramifications. Exactly. Definitely.
And our children, you know, I realized something. They're not dumb. The education system, to me, I know this is a little off topic, you know, they make them seem dumb.
No.
And this was an issue when we integrated. They should have just bust the resources. Yeah. When we were segregated, they should have just bust our grandparents, because that's who it was, our grandparents. The resources, you know, they paid taxes too. And the white schools were nicer than, you know, the Black schools. So they should have just bust the resources to the schools, you know, because my grandmother talked openly about, you know, how they would have to start school a week early, like just go and clean up and everything else, versus the white kids. They didn't have to do all that. They had a cafeteria. So they should have just bust the resources, because now that we're in their schools, they can do whatever they want. They have that control over the textbooks and stuff. And the children, you wouldn't believe.
Right.
I used to teach kids with behavioral issues, supposedly behavioral issues. And you wouldn't believe the difference when I would tell them, you know, the stories, and they would be so, like, they would cut up a little bit. You know, some kids are bored, you know, but when I would.
They have different learning approaches.
Absolutely. And when I would talk to them about, you know, the queens and the kings that we come from, and, you know, and also slavery, children are so pure. They actually paid attention, and their feelings, our children, you know, we have feelings. They would just kind of be hurt, you know, because in school they don't teach these things. They sanitize our history. And a lot of people say that our children shouldn't be exposed to this, but they should, because they would stand a lot taller. I couldn't tell you the difference it makes, you know, with the students that I had. I would say, okay, what are we today? Black kings and queens. And when they would cut up, you're not acting like a Black queen or a Black king. And they hated not being a king or a queen. And I mean, this is even in middle school, in high school, it makes a difference. I'm not saying you're not going to have any behavioral issues. You do, but different approaches work. And believe it or not, when they learned their history, they made sure they were very interested in it. And I think that's the issue that I have, you know, with public education. So as much as I hate that we don't have like things written down for our people, from our people, some things we do, but let's spend time, you know, with our elders. I think that's the best history we can have. Some things can't be taught in a book. Now, as a child or as a teenager, nobody wants to hang out with their grandparent or parent. Let's be clear. You know, we're too cool.
Well, I did. You know, I was at my grandmother's house every weekend.
I was there every day, but it was like, dude, every day, I'm trying to be cool. But, you know, I went back over time. You mature. And I'm so grateful for a lot of the things that they said, because when I research them, they're all true. And they give us a unsanitized version of things that they saw. Yeah. Because if you look in textbooks, they don't even mention segregation or the freedom bus rides or how they, you know, beat up on our grandparents and stuff. So when I was younger, to hear my granddad say we should have been millionaires, I'm like, really? You know, wow, you know, we did this. We did sharecropping. I didn't even know what the hell sharecropping was. I was like, what? I thought slavery was over. And he was like, well, my granddad, no, they, you know, they had to continue the labor. And I'm like, and then, you know, I grew up over time and I'm like, wow, they really did that to, you know, to clean up after the Civil War and continue to make money. And it makes a lot more sense now if you've had something for.
And just to have, just to try to have people, but just also their lineage, like their family indebted to them to do these services.
So we have to, you know, I think that's the best, to me, the best way of learning, because, you know, some things books can't teach. And I'm so grateful. Both of my grandparents on my mom's side, they're still living. So a lot of the things that I post on the page or whatever I post, even a meme or something, because, you know, I like to have fun. I switch it up. All of that, that just comes from, you know, my life.
Yeah, I think what I like about it is that even though we are separated as Black folks, you know, depending where you live, we all still have that same upbringing, in a sense, some of those same sayings, those same, like, what am I trying to say? The knickknacks that you have in your house, like those same little trinkets, like all of those things that make us, our community so unique. And that's what I mean about, you know, your page with the nostalgia piece. Some things you still see in homes today, but some things you don't. But I think it's important to know that even if it is a simple thing as like that glass that every Black home has had at one point in time, or like that comforter set that every home has had, like, you know what I mean? Growing up in the 90s. I just think that if that's a connection that we have as a people to tap in on an emotional piece, you know, and with each other, I think it's important. And I think, you know, it's nice to preserve that and not lose that. And I think because you can't find these things in a book or, you know, in a history book for school, or it's mostly passed down by word of mouth, to have it on Instagram now to connect with the generation coming up, like this is their language. Social media is what they know from a very young age. So we were part of the generation where we saw the beginning of it and we're like, okay, so we can kind of transition in and out of it. But the generations after us, this is what they know. You know what I mean? They don't know what it was like without it beforehand and that kind of thing. So I think to have this information for them, has it like this accessible on this platform, is very important and just very crucial in capturing their attention, when there's so many other things trying to capture their attention at the same time. Yeah, I wanted to bring it back really quick to, about, you know, the children learning about slavery and things like that. It's very true. I mean, even with my daughter, when she was, I think, in kindergarten or first grade, she was doing Black History Month, and she researched Ruby Bridges. And of course, she's a young little girl, my daughter. But, you know, when you hear about the story of Ruby Bridges, you hear about it from when she was a child in elementary school herself. And I remember my daughter with that emotional piece just saying, I wish I can be her friend. Oh, I would play with her at recess. You know, so those things that the kids are definitely very much tapped in and very much emotional. And it is important that when they are at that age, they learn the true history about who they are, and they learn the facts, you know. Some of the facts is not age appropriate yet, but I think, you know, them learning the basis, the foundation of who they really are is very important at such a young age, as they're building their own foundation. When you post pictures of the ancestors, you know, on Instagram, or when you're doing your research, and really, you know, I want to talk a little bit about as well, when it does come to, you know, you, what am I trying to say here? I'm getting like brain freeze for a minute. Is there anything that you find that you don't want to post, you know, when it comes to our history and our facts? Like, is there anything that you find like, okay, if I post this, it might be too controversial, or it might be inappropriate, or are you always just like, whatever, I'm posting it and that's it, and people can take it how they take it?
There is one thing in particular. Most of the time I'm very carefree. I don't care. It's my page. You know, yeah, I have that attitude. Like, I have that attitude where it's my page. I post what I want. This is a pastime. And let's be honest for a minute. I never expected the page to grow this way. It was just something that was natural. But one thing that I feel kind of weird about is politics. Mm-hmm. Because I have a strong view as far as our people voting and just for Democrats and things like that, you know. But yeah, that's the tough one for me, the voting. Right. And that's just because we're, you know, I know why we vote Democrat. Right. You know, I get it. But I also feel like they don't do enough. And I have a lot of, which I didn't realize until recently, a lot of baby boomers. Mm-hmm. The older Black people, and that's where it gets controversial for me. You know, if I say something about not voting or, you know, reparations, the older Black baby boomers, they'll come in, you know, they come from the 60s and, right. You know, they believe, and with all their heart and might, that we died for the right to vote. You know what I'm saying? We did this for the right to vote. So some of them don't see it another way. Any other way. And I don't care. A lot of times I'll put, hey, my opinion stands. I don't mm-hmm. care what you have to say. No horizontal issues, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But I will get a ton of inboxes. And sometimes I can't check them all. But mm-hmm. I get a ton of inboxes regardless. They don't want to say anything to me publicly. But they're like, hey, I disagree. You know, I just want to get on there. And, you know, a lot of older people sometimes, I love them. I love our elders. But sometimes they scold, you know, the mm-hmm. youth in the comments, and I have to literally weed them out.
So right.
That's the controversial part. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm trying to bridge the gap here. You know, younger people, mm-hmm. We don't like to listen all the time, but older people, you guys also don't know how to say things sometimes. So yeah, I think usually that, bridging a gap with that, and definitely, definitely voting.
Right. I think too, with older people, they're just so set in their ways.
Absolutely.
And I think when people are, when they're past age 50, mm-hmm. they're kind of like, listen, this is just me. And it's funny because when you run into the elderly, or when you deal with your elders in your own family, mm-hmm. they just say whatever is on their mind.
Absolutely.
They don't care. They don't filter. They don't water it down. They don't care if they make you cry. Listen. So it's funny to see, as you know, you deal with older folks and the elderly, how they're just pretty much like, listen, I'm going to just say whatever I'm thinking and just got to deal with it.
Yeah.
One of the things in terms of like bridging the gap between the younger generation and our history and the facts, they're so bombarded with so many other things. There's so many things on social media. There's so many things in the world with music. I mean, it's the age of technology. And so they're stimulated like 20,000 times more than what we were with so many different things.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that I love about your page is you write long captions. And I appreciate them because I love to read. And I like to gain information, and I like getting new knowledge. I like the comfort and convenience of technology, and it's like a tap and you've got whatever you needed. But I also like reading, and I feel like that really exercises a piece of us that is being lost a little bit with too much technology. And I think you having the long captions will kind of nudge somebody to really read who may be from a younger generation, or somebody who just wants a quick, you know, 1 second kind of answer kind of thing. And it will kind of just nudge them and, you know, inspire them to be like, okay, let me do some research. Because I know for some of the things that you've posted, and, you know, if I didn't know about what it was, I would definitely read the caption, but then I would be kind of nudged within myself, like, well, let me go research, you know, what is she talking about, or what is it exactly? And it wound up being a lesson for me, like a teachable moment. So I think that's important to have like those long captions. And that's one of the things about your page that I really like. those long captions. A lot of people, when they're on social media, they're always like, keep the captions short. People like swiping through, you know, they don't want to read a lot. But I think those are crucial to have, especially when you are, you know, relaying history, facts, you know, any type of information. And I think when it comes to our people, definitely we need to have all the details.
Yeah.
All right. So in regards to, you know, your page and history and all this knowledge that you're providing for everyone, do you have any upcoming projects in relation to, you know, our Black history that you would like to share?
I do. I have one project. Okay. I've been working on it for the past year. And like okay. I said before, and everyone asked me that particular question, and I always say, I start off with saying the page was a pastime, because it mm-hmm. really was.
Yeah.
I work a lot, So I was like, man, I need an outlet, you know, and I love history. History is one of mm-hmm. my favorite things to do. Besides, you know, a massage or self-care. Black women, I, you know, please do some type of self-care, you know. But yeah. Anyway, so I did that, and then it just kind of grew from there. It's been about a year, I think, mm-hmm. year and a half, no more than a year and a half. So anyway, but the project is now, because the history is coming out, and people, I guess maybe they like the way I post the captions and things like that. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is, I've been working on a small business. It's like a t-shirt, sweatshirt line. Now, the mm-hmm. thing is, it's not meant to be fashionable. A lot of people I know, they've like, no, I'm like, no, it's not. It's meant to learn. Right. I love that older people and baby boomers, and, you know, I'm in my 30s, people who are in their 30s and 40s, I love that they want to, you know, learn more, and myself included, I want to learn more. But right. the highlight of my page, honestly, is when I get a teenager, maybe mm-hmm. because that's the teacher coming out of me. They always right. say, hey, I didn't learn this, you know, in school. So what I did was, to keep them interested and to try to keep them learning their history, right. there will be things, knowledge on sweatshirts, knowledge on t-shirts.
Nice.
And that is one of the things I'm really passionate about, getting, you know, at least if they don't have to know everything. We'll never know everything. You know, a lot of that stuff was cut off, but on the pictures, on our shirts, I do have a picture of a visual representation of, you know, how mm-hmm. we were before slavery.
Nice.
And I'll wait for that to be shown. But the rest mm-hmm. of them are mainly worded. For example, I'll give you an example. I have one sweatshirt, and it's pretty bold. Let's be clear. It's a bold mm-hmm. line. You got to be a bold person to rock it. But it's okay. One of them, I'll share two. One of them is, you know, they always say that all lives matter. They quickly right. say that. My thing is, did all lives matter when we had slavery, sharecropping, convict leasing, Jim Crow, Black towns right. destroyed, the war on drugs, mass incarceration. So this is on a sweatshirt, and it's done
right.
perfectly where they can
nice,
see
nice.
It. And then also I have one particular, another shirt where it talks about, you know, the Black man. If you're a Black man who has something negative to say about Black women, you know,
right.
Well, four things. One, write it down. Two, take it home. Three, give it to your mama. And four, wait to see what she says. So these are, you know, things that I want us to have. You know, I have a few on the Black massacres. I have a map coming out that I just finished, and it details all of the things that have happened. And that was very special to me, because a lot of people come here and they're like, why aren't you guys further? You know?
Right.
Further.
Right.
And I actually met a kid who actually thought that before. He was like, we should have been further. He had no reason.
Yeah.
He didn't understand why we're not further, because they yeah. would destroy the towns. So I made a map. It's actually copyrighted now. And it will be
nice.
Placed on my sweatshirts and on t-shirts.
Awesome.
And it shows them the different, you know, towns that we had all over the U.S., the ones that we know of so far. And hopefully the youth, as well as the older people, they will look at the shirt, want it, and not only want the shirt, I mean, the business is great. You know, we are a business, but also look at the shirt and wear it and say, hey, I want to look up what happened in Ohio in 1866. What, you know, that label, you know?
Right.
Mostly for
education.
That's
awesome. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I was going to say, yeah, that is very true to that piece about people who come to this country. A lot of them don't realize, some of them are starting to realize, though, that if it wasn't for the work that, you know, we put in, they would not have been able to come here at all.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where that whole All Lives Matter stuff kind of comes into play, because that's when, you know, the majority is trying to group you in the minorities. And it's like, well, no, it's, our history is completely different. And our experience here, on a global scale, but also here in the States, the experience is completely different. You know, it's not the same. So you can't just put Black with other minorities and think like, oh, that's it. It's an all lives thing, or this is like an all across the board thing, or like a one size fits all. It most definitely is not. And I think with a page like yours that really speaks to our people and the teens coming up, it's important that they know that, because a lot of what's happening now are a lot of conversations about integration and that whole blanket statement kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And once, you know, I feel like once everybody gets that and they're okay with that, history can repeat itself, or the gem of who you are just gets lost in time. And I think, you know, we've endured too much to just kind of fizzle away.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
you're absolutely right. I feel like we're losing some of our children. They think that we're an all inclusive, you know, way, and that's not their fault.
Right.
Let's be clear, that's not their fault.
No,
that's
no,
what
no.
that's
not
what they're
all.
Taught the majority of time. I mean, you can spend time at home, but they spend 8 hours, 8-9 hours in school. So, you know, they're getting, you know, a lot of their teaching from school. And like I said before, it's no accident, you know, that they don't share these things. So I thought it would be amazing to have them on shirts. And, you know, I have one where we talk about slavery, you know, reasons that slavery is different. Because a lot of people, they will say, well, everybody owned slaves, you know, everybody was a slave. You're right. But guess what? There are also levels to this. Not everybody was enslaved based on skin complexion. We were based on skin, you know, because we were Black. Not everybody was coded by law to not be able to read and write. You know, I hear them talk about ignorance all the time with Black people, but they never talk about how that ignorance was imposed on a lot of us, you know? So that's,
and I feel like we're the only ones,
we are.
I was saying, like on a global scale.
We are.
It wasn't even like just to where we were on the land that we were in or which continent we were on. It was literally on a global scale. And that just makes it all the worse.
Yeah.
and most inhumane. I definitely agree with you that integration talk is happening, and that is something that is misleading and misinforming to the children coming up. I think that's why too, it's important to have, you know, kids are at school, they're doing their education, their schooling, their math and science, and, you know, the basics that they have in these curriculums. But I also think, you know, now is a time that we have to kind of reiterate and actually put into practice for Black families. Like, when your kids come home, they've got more education to learn, you know, and it's not what they're learning in school. And just sharing that information with them as much as possible. Because if they don't know it, somebody else who does know it will hide it from them or try to use it against them to their advantage. I think that sounds amazing, the sweatshirts that you have lined up, and just, you know, the t-shirts, all of that. I'm excited to see what that looks like. So again, guys, I was talking with Portia. Her social media on Instagram is To Be Black Is Lit. And that's exactly, it's spelled just how it is, how it's written. Portia, do you have a Facebook or anything, or a Twitter?
I do not. I am working on now possibly doing a Facebook community. Like I said, the page was a pastime. So
yeah, I know. You're trying not to overwhelm yourself
either. But I am probably going to end up doing a Facebook community because I think that would expose more people to just, I just like it just showing what I've learned over time. You know, I really do.
Definitely.
So I am considering doing a Facebook community. Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah. I feel like with Facebook, it's like two demographics you're getting on Instagram and Facebook. I feel like Instagram is definitely the younger generation and a lot of business people and just everyday people as well and celebrities and that kind of thing. And I feel Facebook is kind of more like the family side, the like, you know, the older generations who are just getting tech savvy a little bit. You know what I mean?
It is.
But you still have, you know, younger folks on there and all of that. But I do feel like when I navigate both platforms, I definitely feel a difference.
Really?
yeah, I do. I definitely feel a difference of like in terms of demographic and, you know, each platform kind of has its own personality. But I will say what I love too about your IG page is the my favorite piece. Not only are the captions long enough for me, but I also love when you do the video clips of like the old school TV shows. So like when you do like Martin or like Family Matters, like, you know, because they don't make TV shows like that anymore either. So it's, you know, I just think it's nice to see and to have that to be able to kind of see clips of those things that you don't see on TV anymore. You know, now you got to get like a whole DVD box set if you want to watch Martin or, you know, and I think not when the things that are being taken away and what they're being replaced with is something that does bother me. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of, you know, love and hip hop, and I'm not knocking anybody who watches it or who's been on it or anything like that. But it promotes just a lot of materialistic and just a lot of fighting. And, you know, I don't know if it's real or if it's fake. I don't really watch it. But, you know, when you look at shows like Martin, The Cosby Show, Living Single, and like Family Matters and those shows, and then you look at to what's on television now and what's being pushed now, it just, you know, there's definitely two different extremes of the spectrum. So
you're right.
I do appreciate those old school medias and, you know, those old school TV shows on the pages.
Yeah, I get a lot, I get a lot of young kids with that one too. They'll say, hey, what's the name of this show? And I feel so bad because I'm gonna be honest, I delete a lot of comments, a ton, because sometimes we as Black people, and I say this, and this is no offense to anybody, but if you're offended, oh well, you know, sometimes we really don't know how to treat each other or say things to each other. And again, that's a symptom of post-traumatic slave syndrome. That's just my opinion. But, you know, I'll have a kid, you know, younger people, literally sometimes teenagers or people in their 20s, you know, they'll say, hey, what show is that? You know, and of course I'll have it. Now I'm a teacher. So if I post something and you don't read the caption, you know, I go back, I always say, hey, that's why reading is fundamental. Read, you know, the teacher comes out of me. I'm not mean. But I always say, and they'll go back and they'll read and they're like, hey, where can I find this show? And then I don't mind, you know, telling them, but then we always have someone else that'll come, you know, under, you know, and just be mean. How could you not know who this is? You know, how could you not know what this show is? And I'm like, and I've learned through teaching too. I'm strict, but I've also learned you have to have compassion, and nobody wants to come to someone where they feel stupid or, you know, just because you don't know something. They're in a generation of social media and a totally different era. There's nothing wrong with their, you know, generation. They learn differently, but if I'm okay, I love it when they say, hey, you know, who's Max from Living Single? I think I posted a few months back and I talked about Living Single and, you know, the difference, and they were friends. But, you know, each one of them was successful. One of them had a newspaper, you know, owner, and the other one was a lawyer. And Regine worked at a boutique, things like that, that they don't see. And someone kind of, it was a child that got her feelings hurt, you know, because she was asking questions, and of course I answered them. You know, I have no issue. She read the whole caption, but she wanted to know more about the show. She wanted to watch it. And actually a few people kind of ganged up on her. Older people. So of course I had to come to her defense, and I just think we need to learn how to talk to each other. Let's bridge that gap too, between the younger and the old. Try as much as we can. We can't do everything because we're facing a lot of damage, but let's just be kind. You never know why someone, you know, doesn't know what they know, or why someone would think or feel the way they do.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say too, you had reminded me when you were talking about living single, even when you watch A Different mm-hmm. World or, you know, any other shows, what you'd pay attention to what they were wearing. They were wearing a lot of clothing that represented the historically Black colleges and universities, you know, and you don't see that too much anymore. But back then, that was a subconscious Absolutely. Message of, like, you can aspire to get a good education at these places that were founded for Absolutely. Us, you know? So I think, yeah, definitely that media piece is what I love about your page, and that definitely, I'm sure that's changing somebody's life. They're probably like, I'm going back to like 1992, so long ago. But for us, it was like, yeah, it feels like yesterday, yeah, you know? It does. But, all right. Well, I just want to thank you for doing this episode with me again. I really appreciate having this conversation with you. And, you know, for anybody who's listening, you know, follow the page, To Be Black Is Lit. Keep an eye out for her upcoming projects, which sound amazing. And, you know, just kind of, I mean, honestly, I use your page too. Like when I'm talking to my kids, if it's something that I didn't know about in Black history, I'll go to your page and be like, look, guys, let's research this together, you know? So, you know, we should all, I think, as a people, use Absolutely. Each other. You know, when somebody has something and you don't have it, definitely use it, and just continue to pass down this knowledge. So, Portia, thank you again for being on this episode and just sharing some light about your page and why you got started, and just, you know, brainstorming with me on why it's so important for us to have. Absolutely. So I hope everyone got something from this. And until next time, everyone, be well.
All right, peace. Bye-bye.